Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
That's very good, Damon.
I am saddened that Mike Riley is no longer head coach of the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Not because Cornhuskers don't deserve a better football team, but because Mike Riley, has given us quotes like that here on the DA show, now one of the more famous drops in DA show history.
That's very good, Damon.
I've got Herm on my mind because Herm Edwards has given me also some of the best radio content of my career, and I'll talk to you about that coming up in mere moments. But I do want to let you know this hour, we've got highs and lows in broadcast history coming up in about 17 minutes from now. Meraz, 1 week ago, took to the airwaves hosting his first show ever for CBS Sports Radio. We'll play back some of his grand moments and some of his low moments coming up here in just a few minutes. Also, I dusted off the play-by-play chops a little less than a week ago, last Saturday, for a college football game, the Lane Train, the FAU Fighting Owls of Lane Kiffin against the Charlotte 49ers in Conference USA. And there were some high highs by yours truly calling play-by-play on TV. And some low lows.
You are a machine of death.
We'll play through these great moments and these awful moments, these booms and these busts, coming up here at 20 minutes past the hour. Also, former Baltimore Colts linebacker, Baltimore Ravens analyst, football icon, and B-more, Stan White. He's going to join us coming up here on the show in 35 minutes from now. He's also a former Buckeye, so we'll talk to him about where Ohio State stands in the college football playoff rankings with one game to go. At 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, DA on CBS. Looks like Herm Edwards is going to be the next head coach of the Arizona State Sun Devils. Herm Edwards is a compelling speaker, to say the least. Herm Edwards makes things interesting because he brings a lot of energy. He brings a lot of intensity. He's got a lot of colorful verbiage. When Herm Edwards took the podium for either the Chiefs or the Jets, it was must-watch television. You didn't know what he was going to say, but you knew it was not just going to be coach speak, and he has carried that over to a broadcast career. I say this a lot about people that crush Stephen A. Smith a lot. Stephen A. has takes that you roll your eyes at. Stephen A. feels like so much of his thoughts are artificial. Stephen A. feels inauthentic in that way. But Stephen A. is a compelling public speaker. When he is on television or on the radio, it's easy to get roped in to listen because he has a way to deliver something where it just grabs you by the eardrum, and that is a skill. obviously I'm more in tune to this skill because of what I do, but people that can do that, can orchestrate verbally, have a real skill, and Herm Edwards is one of those guys. But let me also tell you, Herm Edwards has a drop of Stephen A. in him because I covered the Kansas City Chiefs for 5 years working for Sports Radio 610 in Kansas City. It was my first big break. My first job out of college was part-time in Rochester, New York, doing pregame and postgame for minor league soccer. My first full-time job was in Fort Myers, Florida, market number 76 at the time. My dream was to get to a market that had a professional sports team in it. And I got to Kansas City, and I was covering the Chiefs and the Royals, and I was in my heaven. I said, this is it, man. I finally arrived. And so I was covering Dick Vermeil and Trent Green and Priest Holmes, Tony Gonzalez. I said, boy, this is awesome. And Dick Vermeil retired, and they brought in Herm Edwards. And I said, okay, I get to cover Herm Edwards. And so I was at those press conferences every Monday or Tuesday, in those post-game press conferences as well. And every week, I blinked my eyes, my jaw hit the ground, and said, what did he just say? That doesn't make any sense. What is that phrase he just used? Where is he going right now? Jets fans remember the Herm Edwards years as which became a clown show. Chiefs fans remember the Herm Edwards years as which became a clown show. Herm Edwards, for his career, 20 games under 500. 20! He has never been a head coach in college. And Arizona State just hired him to go try to beat USC, Chip Kelly in UCLA, Chris Peterson in Washington, Mike Leach in Washington State. This is not going to end well. I'll tell you this. And I personally like Herm Edwards. Let me tell you a little story about Herm and I. In these press conferences, we could spar back and forth because I enjoyed his energy. Hopefully he enjoyed my questions. And one time he said, son, what's your name? I said, well, my name's D.A. He goes, no. Son, what's the name your mama gave you? I said, my name is Damon, but everybody calls me D.A. He goes, well, that's a nice name. You see, Damon's a nice name, which I should have learned from both him and Mike Francesa. Nobody apparently from that generation likes initials. This became a big deal. He once on the practice field chewed out my butt in the middle of all cameras and all television networks because I had said something on the radio that was critical of that organization, and the Chiefs were very, very sensitive at the time. It was under Carl Peterson, who was basically a flaming bozo at that point. And I was open to saying that. I had no fear in saying that. So Herm and I had our spats, had our moments. Well, I brought my dad. He was visiting me from out of town. I said, Dad, let's go to a Kansas Jayhawks basketball game. Wait till you see the fog. You won't believe what this is, man. Fog Allen Fieldhouse is amazing. I brought my dad up, and there was Herm Edwards and his wife standing outside the arena. And my dad, being a big football fan, I said, Dad, Herm Edwards. He goes, oh, my God, that really is. I go, let me introduce you. So I go up. Hey, Herm, what's going on? Hey, what's going on? I go, this is my dad. He goes, first thing he says to my dad, I told him Damon was a nice name. Brilliant moment. Great laugh. We all got a good chuckle out of it. I like him. I do. But I'm telling you this, this will end poorly. Today's college football player doesn't think of Herm Edwards as an NFL coach. That's eons ago to a high school recruit. He was 10 or 8 the last time that Herm Edwards was coaching. Yes, he's been on TV. Yes, he's been on TV. But Herm Edwards, if he goes into a living room, is going to try to talk about coaching Chad Pennington or Larry Johnson. These names don't mean anything to high schoolers. Herm Edwards, there's an element of Lovie Smith here. Bring a reputation in, but is he willing, is he able to do all of the little things? And apparently he's going to inherit coordinators for this job, which when you're not assembling your own staff, always feels like a bad idea. I like Herm. I hope it works. Things are more entertaining when he's around. But I can tell you, having sat in every one of his press conferences for 3 years with the Chiefs, his last head coaching job a decade ago, I don't think he's ready to be a head coach anymore. I don't think he was ready to be a head coach then. In closing, I will bring you one of the best things I ever accomplished. The three guys I worked with in Kansas City are three of my best friends of the world. Jonah Ballow, Josh Klingler, and B-Dub Ryan Williams. We assembled something we called the Hermgasm. This was every weird, wacky thing he said in 3 years of press conferences with the Chiefs. Enjoy.
Because if not, then... You go, uh-oh, and you're saying, uh-oh, uh-oh, and then you're going, oh, but it's always an uh-oh. You're going, uh-oh, we got a problem.
Come on, hey! Go!
You don't work on the vine weeks. Wow.
Go inside. Relax. We don't need to do this, boys.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, then you went,
you know what it's,
Oh, this is so boring.
I don't know.
You gotta wait.
I don't know. I don't write the stuff. I don't know.
That's okay. I can deal with that.
What do you like about it?
Had a little pity party this morning. Period. You gotta be able to do that. And you gotta be able to do it on the road.
Well, never turned out that way. It ended up being a beat. We got beat up.
We ran in reverse on the first play. You kidding me?
Turn around and give it to Larry Johnson.
Let me tell you something about Grooney.
Chiefs don't play the Chiefs. Don't say nothing bad because your parents gonna hear. Football, cheat if you can. Go ahead and get your little free release. Go ahead and get your free release. Go ahead.
There you go. Now we're talking, baby.
That's way to not panic.
I don't call plays. Don't. Didn't call a play. Didn't call one play.
It's just great. She's great. I mean, she's really great.
When I grew up, I didn't have an air conditioner.
That ain't even old school. I don't know what kind of school that one is.
He's always giving somebody the business. Depends on everybody wants to give everybody the business. I've been okay with the bully department.
Who's the fool? The fool? Or the fool that follows the fool.
This is not rugby. It's not a scrum. It's not kickboxing. It's not boxing.
That might have been beer commercial, ambulance, fumble, sack, ball out.
One thing I do know, after opening day, half the team's got a winning record, another half got a losing record, and that's great.
That's why there's 7-Elevens.
You can dream in this country and actually fulfill your dream.
She's getting her corsage ready, and her dress ain't right.
You're in class, and you say green, and it was blue.
You know, you've been to the shoe store before. You keep putting on that same shoe, and the guy keeps giving you the brown one if you really want the black one. Keeps getting that brown one to you, keep trying that black one on because you really, really want it, but it don't fit. We just buy the brown.
You got to stop the fire now. You got to put the fire out. You got to stop the fire. And we stopped the fire. And once we stopped the fire, we started playing again.
A lot of dentists working today.
And he would always look over in our yard, and we looked over in his yard. He had weeds, gopher holes.
Well, guess what? Go to bed.
If I tell you it's Easter today, go start coloring your eggs.
What stays in your house, stays in your house. So it's in that house. And I threw the key away.
Make sure you're not on Dynanot this weekend. We at the Smoothie King. Get that little tire they give you now. They don't give you a real tire anymore.
And then that one blows out on you. You go, oh boy, I'm in trouble.
It's like going to the bank and all of a sudden you forget your card to withdraw your money. You got to go back home. And you come back, bank's closed.
Well, I checked it about 5 times because I'm not very smart.
I was smart.
Look here now. I'm not dumb now.
The accusations, it's a little frustrating. We're all frustrated. We're frustrated the way we played last week.
You know, there's not a lot of time of leisurely time.
I never saw it. Never got out of the garage.
He was accentuating some things that need to be accentuated.
He thought he was riding his horse.
Well, what does that mean?
It means, you know, that's what it means.
Teeth knocker. Plastic.
Misbehaving.
That's embarrassing.
The DA show's critically acclaimed Hermism montage.
It's Herman Edwards. I'm the source.
Get it.
Sometimes you go to the prom and your prom date's late. Well, you're still going to the prom. They don't invite you. It's not like the prom.
People remember him for, hello, you play to win the game. But that was a Jets moment. Those were all Chiefs moments, which also included the Hard Knocks season as well. Good luck, Sun Devils. Enjoy. Press conferences are awesome. The games, not so much. When we come back, highs and lows in broadcast history as Mraz dusts off the pipes for his first ever hosting gig 1 week ago. We'll play some of that next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
Eagle fans, we can hear you.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
21 minutes past the hour. DA with you. Trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts help you choose the brakes that are an exact fit for your vehicle. Brands that you trust like Brake Best and Wagner ThermoQuiet. O'Reilly Auto Parts are the brake parts you need to guarantee low prices. O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. Brian just tweeted, your Herm Edwards soundbites montage was awesome. Grandy tweets, Herm Edwards and Mike Leach, same press conference, legendary. Josh tweets, you guys just solidified your all-time radio greatness with that Herm spew. Anon tweeting, so many great drops out of that. Ball out! Ambulance! Robert tweets, Herm is going to be fired after his third season at Arizona State. He's in over his head on this one. Herm Edwards is wildly entertaining. Herm Edwards is not going to win more games than the previous couple of coaches. It's just not going to happen. And I get it. A-State believes that it has a sleeping giant there. It's a major market. It's Phoenix. It's just outside in Tempe. You can recruit Arizona, but also recruit Southern California. There's a lot of talent in SoCal to bring over. You can go up-tempo. You can go wide open. You're in the Pac-12. There is something to be had there. But dusting off old guys with big reputations is rarely a good idea. You need guys that are dying, killing themselves to win every single day, recruiting the minutiae of college football. Film study, X's and O's, everything like that. Yeah, talent acquisition is nice, but there's a lot of guys that are in it with talent acquisition. I don't think Arizona State's any better off with Herm Edwards. And here's the rub. The VP of their athletic department is Herm's old agent when he was a coach. This dude still represents Marvin Lewis and other coaches. I like Herm a lot, but this doesn't feel like it's going to end up very well. But it does give us more press conferences to pull great sound bites from, so that's a plus. On Thursday, last Thanksgiving night, going into Thanksgiving Day, and then on Black Friday night as well, going into Black Friday Day, Mraz took over the controls for his first ever hosting gig here on CBS Sports Radio. I asked you in the weeks leading up to this, once we announced it, whether you were nervous or excited. You kept saying you were excited. Was any part of you nervous going into that Thursday show?
When I showed up at the station, I was a tad bit nervous, but then I just calmed down. I listened to a little music and did a little reading, and I was good to go.
So a little butterflies.
Little butterflies, but I calmed myself pretty quickly.
No big deal.
I mean, of course it's a big deal, but I like to think of myself as a big game player. So I was here to play a big game.
Because I can tell you when I've done fill-in shifts and I felt like it was a huge deal, that I would get really nervous psyching myself out and up right before the microphone went on. That lead up to it was almost like click, 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 going up a roller coaster. And then the moment the microphone was on, I was fine. But it was everything that I was building it up to be. You never had that.
Slightly. Again, when I first got here. But I put on I'm telling you, I put on headphones. I listened to a little country music. I read up on some stories. And I just took a deep breath and said, it's fine. I could do this.
So let's listen to some of the clips here from Mraz. Why don't we start with some of the low points? Because as you might imagine, Mraz wasn't exactly perfect with his verbiage and vocabulary early on.
And nobody could be above him. Jerry Jones pretends like he cares about winning, but he's really about the bottom dollar and how he's perceived publicly.
Pertrieved, not a word, but okay, that's early.
Well, that was actually in the second hour, so it wasn't.
But first show.
First show, so yeah, pertrieved. Sounded right.
Sounded right at the time. More from Mraz, as we all know, not exactly great with the whole grammar thing.
Being able to have the Jordan brands, you know, embroidered? Is that the word? Embroidered, I guess. Yeah, you're going to learn that with me. I'm not very good with the English language.
Which is ironic, because you're publicly speaking at this point.
You're going to learn. You're listening to somebody who can't speak.
You also had what appeared to be a few plant jobs. Here was a call from, I believe it was an Antoine in the Bronx, that didn't really go anywhere, and Mraz had to kind of dump out of it. Let's listen to this.
And let's go one more. How about the trifecta? Antoine in the Bronx. Antoine, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, good morning, Sean. How you doing, man?
Good morning. What's going on, bud?
Hey, I know you love Rangers hockey. Let's talk some Rangers hockey.
I'm sure that's what the nation is ready to hear, but okay, what do you got for me?
Who cares what they think? I mean, I was listening to WFAN in New York a minute ago, and
what did
he said, I'm not the guy to ask.
So this was weird because it wasn't a great phone call. Nobody yet usually calls up having listened to WFAN in New York and then flipping over to you and then talking about Rangers hockey. And Joey Waller, for some reason, breaking bad news with Joey Waller, tweeted out this clip the next day. I would have never known that this happened, except he clipped it and then sent it out the next day, which was weird. So I'm almost wondering, was that Waller pranking you?
I've thought about this a lot. It has to be. I think Joey Waller was trying to throw me off, see how I would stand in there and take an oddball call.
By being Antoine in the Bronx to talk about...
Hey, good morning, Sean. How you doing, man?
To talk about Rangers hockey?
You talk about a guy who needs a life severely.
So then it appeared another employee of CBS Sports Radio, at least a former one, it sounded like Shep called into Mraz.
David, Memphis, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Mraz, just want to say, man, I'm a huge fan of yours, been listening for a long time, and this is long overdue for you to host a national radio show. Congratulations, first and foremost.
David, what's going on, man? I appreciate it. Now, hold on. Is this Shep?
No, it's not David from Memphis.
David from Memphis. Okay. All right. Interesting. What's up, David?
And that was it. He hung up.
He had like one quick point, but he panicked, and I haven't heard from him since.
Now, Shep's real name is David Shepard.
And moved to Memphis.
So that's definitely Shep. So
but why not just admit it when I call you out on it?
Well, why is Waller doing Antoine in the Bronx and Shep doing David in Memphis bits? What's going on?
I don't know. These guys just trying to stand in there. Just admit who you are. Tell me who you are.
Maybe they're jealous that you got this role, that you got this opportunity. And then you had Patriot fan calling in, and you got a healthy dose of delusional Tom Brady supporters.
Let's get to Brian, Lowell, Massachusetts. Brian, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, I think this is very funny that you're talking about Tom Brady not defeating the test of time.
Well, okay, so now he's going to be the first person to defeat the test of time.
Well, he's going to defeat the test of time. You're saying 2 years. I think that's just ridiculous.
When do you think Tom Brady's going to play till? When he's 50, Brian?
I think he could probably hit 50, yeah. I mean,
oh, get serious.
I'm serious right now.
50?
Doing my research. He's done better.
Doing your research on what, the avocado ice cream he eats?
No, I've done every... Oh, yeah, and he doesn't get sunburns either, if you've read about that.
Yeah, he doesn't get sunburns. He's the only person who could go to Cancun and not get a sunburn.
I love Boston fans saying, I've done some research. On what? What are you exactly studying here that comes to the conclusion Tom Brady's going to be playing until he's 50? 45 may be the tail end, even though I don't think he's going to make another 5 years. 50, and then you had another caller from Boston call in and say, yes, he believes that he's going to play until 50 as well. And then you wonder why the nation goes, shut up, Patriots fans, 50.
I wasn't in the mood at 3:50 a.m. to deal with delusional Boston people, I'll tell you that much.
Like Julio Franco, under center for the New England Patriots. 50 years old playing quarterback. No, I think he can do it. I can see I've done some research on this. Well, I mean, come on.
They spent a week in a Mass General in the lab doing tests on getting to 50 and playing quarterback?
Seriously. Overall, I thought it was excellent work. A ton of great compliments coming from our listeners, coming from management, coming from people that work here. I was somewhat startled, shocked. Even the body Bilotti, who I would think would be willing to take a shot or two at Mraz, he has been on the air before, texted me and said, Mraz crushed it. You really felt that?
Oh, definitely.
Mraz did a good job.
The personality was there. He gave me some information.
Gave some juice.
Some juice, yeah. Some opinions. It really flowed well. It was a good first outing, I would say.
I was shocked that Mraz was so comfortable pacing-wise. Usually guys, the first time they're on the air, speed through takes, trip over themselves. Mraz, your pacing was good. I could only imagine it's because you're largely lazy and kind of slow-moving as it is, so that it was just natural for you.
That could be the ultimate life irony, that I have now backed into somewhere where I could be slow and lazy and it's accepted.
But you did a really good job. Everybody's very proud of you, and hopefully we'll hear you on the air again. What'd you think about doing overnights?
I didn't mind. It was actually kind of cool to be back in that, being somewhere we were for 2 years, you know, getting the weird callers again. I enjoyed it. I was pumped. But, hey, listen, I'm a utility guy. You want me to do it again? Plug me where you need me.
All right. So if we have holiday shifts.
Yeah, see you Christmas morning.
Christmas morning and New Year's Eve. We got
ho, ho, ho
on the overnight.
Sean and Santa, CBS Sports Radio.
Very good. Very, very good. And, of course, Mraz quickly posted his shows to our PGP page to upload them. I usually have to basically bend over backwards or slap him in the back of the head to post any podcasts. But when Mraz is on the radio, he is so ambitious. He is quick to move through and to work at the next level. So I think we just give him more stuff to do on the radio, because if it's self-serving, he's going to get it done. As Berman told me, he's not lazy, actually. He's just selfish. When it behooves Mraz, he's as ambitious as they come.
And Grandma thinks I'm a cancer.
Mm-hmm. When we come back, former Colts linebacker Stan White, Ravens analyst. Does Baltimore have a chance at making some noise in the AFC playoffs? DA, CBS Sports Radio, Andrew Bogish, headlines.
No, David from Memphis.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Muffins, mornings, mothership.
Hey, good morning, DA. Love your takes. Kind of a recent listener to your program, and I love it. You're awesome.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
40 minutes past the hour, full episodes of the DA show available on iTunes. If you ever miss anything, just simply go there and listen, download whatever hours, segments, interviews that you want. Go search DA CBS on iTunes to get full episodes there. Also, watch the show at watchda.com. That's mobile friendly. Joining us is longtime linebacker of the Baltimore Colts. Also played for the Detroit Lions, as well as a couple of seasons in the USFL. He's a former Buckeye with the Ohio State Buckeyes and a member of the Ravens broadcast team, analyst for the Ravens, and author of the book, If These Walls Could Talk, Stories from the Ravens Sideline, Locker Room, and Press Box. Stan White joining us this morning on the show. Stan, good morning.
Good morning, DA. How you doing?
I'm doing great, buddy. Thanks so much for joining us. And looking at the Ravens, let's start with the current team. Do you feel as though if Baltimore got in as a wild card, they could actually be a difficult out in the AFC playoffs?
Yeah, definitely. All you got to do is look at their history. Since Joe Flacco and John Harbaugh have been there, they've never gotten into the playoffs and not won at least one game. And they've been to the AFC Championship game three times and won Super Bowl championships. So, yeah, they are a playoff-tested franchise team, that's for sure. And you've seen the history of it. Fifth and sixth, the wild cards, I mean, they get to the Super Bowl many times over the last 10 years. So all you got to do is get there at this point.
But they don't have a defense that has Ed Reed or Ray Lewis anymore, and this needs to be a strength of the defense type of run if the Ravens are going to make one. So where does this Ravens defense rank compared to what you've seen in recent vintage with the Ravens?
Well, it's the best since the Super Bowl, that's for sure. And they don't have Ed Reed, and they don't have Ray Lewis, but they do have Terrell Suggs, who's been the defensive player of the year and is putting his name out there now. He's in the top 20 of all-time sackers and putting his name in the conversation to be in the Hall of Fame himself. So they still have the ability to play great defense. And this year they're leading the league in interceptions and in turnovers. They're second in points scored against. So it's a pretty good defense.
Stan White, member of the Ravens broadcast team, joining us here on the show. What about the offense? Why do you think that Joe Flacco's production has been down the last couple of years compared to where he was probably peaking in that Super Bowl season.
Well, one of the axioms of football that is forever true is the team that wins the battle at the line of scrimmage usually wins the game. And that's been the problem. You talk about the defense. Since they got Brandon Williams back, they've been a lot better on defense. He's their nose guard. On offense, they've just had – there's only one starter that was projected to be a starter, and that was Ronnie Stanley, and he's missed a couple games this year. Everybody else, they've sort of had to move around, and every other week they have a different lineup. So it's been tough to get any consistency in the passing game and timing-wise because they just aren't sure about the protection, and they've had to run an awful lot more than they probably want to.
What was the best Ravens team that you've seen since they moved? Was it the 2000 Ravens that won the Super Bowl? Was it the one a couple of years ago that won the Super Bowl when Flacco went off? Maybe was it one of the ones that lost to the Patriots or the Steelers in the playoffs? Which was the best to you?
Yeah, it was probably the 2000 team. I mean, they set records for points allowed and everything else, that defense. They were so dominant defensively. And even though that offense struggled a lot more than this offense is struggling right now, they had Trent Dilfer at quarterback, and he did a great job. He won, I think, 11 straight games. But it was, again, he managed the game, and the defense took over. And then maybe the second best is 2006. They had a 13-3 record. Steve McNair was their quarterback that year. Jamal Lewis, they had a great run. And then lost in the first round to Peyton Manning and the Indianapolis Colts on five field goals by the Colts. They just couldn't get anything going offensively in that playoff game.
Longtime Colts linebacker Stan White, member of the Ravens broadcast team and author of If These Walls Could Talk, about the Ravens stories from the sideline locker room and press box. Now, you go into the relationship that the fans of the city of Baltimore have with the Ravens and what that transition was like after they lost the Baltimore Colts back in 1983. It took a while to get football back. Did you wonder whether a new franchise could survive and thrive in Baltimore after the Colts had left, or did you know there was enough football fans that would be all in as long as the NFL returned?
Oh, I was pretty certain that they would support a team, whether it be an expansion team, a team that moved there. They were up for the expansion both times when Carolina and Jacksonville received those teams. It was then the St. Louis Cardinals came into town looking to move there, Bill Bidwell. They'd have supported any one of those teams. One of the things that really surprised me, growing up in Ohio, where football is part of their religion almost, and going to Ohio State, where you obviously have an unbelievable fan backing, that I found Baltimore to be very similar to that in their love for the Colts. They idolized Johnny Unitas and Lenny Moore and Gino Marchetti and Artie Donovan. Those were like heroes to those people. And they, every Sunday at 2 o'clock, because there were blue laws in Baltimore then, we played at 2 o'clock, the whole town stopped. The stores closed. Everything happened here. So I was pretty certain if a team came back, they were going to support it. I was just shocked, since I talked about growing up in Ohio, that it was the Cleveland Browns that were going to move here.
Shocking to a lot of people, and yet the Browns obviously became the Ravens. The Ravens are so well supported now, one of the real true franchise fan bases that are there through thick and thin in Baltimore. They love their Ravens. Stan White joining us here on the show. Let me ask you about being, though, part of the old Colts team. Old, creaky Memorial Stadium and the ghosts of Johnny U and Lenny Moore and all those guys from the 50s and 60s. What was your favorite game playing at Memorial Stadium for the Colts?
Well, I had a couple. My rookie year, Johnny Unitas and Joe Namath had this shootout game where Namath threw for 500 and some, and Johnny threw for 400 and some. I didn't get to play very much in that game. I was a special teams guy. But just being there to see those two iconic quarterbacks go against each other, that was one of them. And the other one was 1975. We had a great turnaround. We were 2-12 the year before. Ted Marchibroda came in, and he turned us around. We won our last nine games that year after starting 1-4 to make the playoffs and dethrone the Miami Dolphins. And we played the Dolphins in Memorial Stadium, and we played him in an overtime game that we won 10-7 on a field goal. And the fog had come in, and it was just right above the goalpost, and you couldn't even see the ball when it went through the uprights. It was just one of those surreal type games that really changed the course of Baltimore football and brought it back after a sort of a drought since the Super Bowl, since Super Bowl VI when they won. So it was five, but it was just a great moment to upset the great Miami Dolphins in our home.
Yeah, you guys made the playoffs, 75, 76, 77. Really good defense. Burt Jones at quarterback. And you just ran into, in the AFC in those years, the Dolphins, the Steelers, the Raiders. I mean, these were epic, legendary, legacy teams. When you got to the playoffs, were you thinking, man, this road through the AFC is ridiculous?
Well, that's just the way it was back then. You know, that 75 season, that first playoff game we played in Pittsburgh, it was, they talked about it the other night on television, it was the original, the first game where they brought out the terrible towel and they were waving it around. And we're ahead at halftime, 10-7 in that game, and we had knocked Terry Bradshaw out of the game. They took him off on a stretcher, and we thought, man, we got these guys. So what happens? Out of the locker room comes Terry Bradshaw in the second half and leads them to a big comeback win over us. And then they go on, you know, they were Super Bowl champions and everything that they did. And then the last year is John Madden's most historic game in his career, double overtime loss, the ghost to the post game against the Oakland Raiders. So, yeah, we ran into some pretty good teams and had the unfortunate timing to not be able to beat them when we could have been looked at as a pretty strong team, too, in history.
Stan White, former Colts linebacker, member of the Ravens broadcast team, author of If These Walls Could Talk, Baltimore Ravens Stories from the Sideline Locker Room and Press Box. You're also an Ohio State Buckeye. Do you feel as though if the Buckeyes win this Big Ten championship game over Wisconsin, you guys are going to get a bid into the college football playoff? How confident are you?
Well, I'm confident they can beat Wisconsin, but I think TCU has to beat Oklahoma, because Oklahoma beat the Buckeyes early in the year. So TCU is going to have to beat Oklahoma for them to get into the playoffs, because, you know, Miami and Clemson is one of those guys are going to be out. Georgia and Auburn, one of those will be out. So it's going to come down to whether TCU can beat Oklahoma or not. But first, they got to beat Wisconsin.
Stan White joining us. Again, the book is If These Walls Could Talk, Stories from the Ravens Sideline, a Locker Room and Press Box, available everywhere right now. Stan, a lot of fun, man. Thanks so much. Good luck with the book.
All right. Thanks a lot. Yeah, it should be. It's a nice item. I have one that I don't know if you ever heard of John Stedman or not, but he's another iconic reporter that covered the Colts all those years. He wrote a pictorial history of the Colts, and I had that, and I took it around and had everybody sign those pages. So I have a history of the Colts and a memorabilia at the same time. And I think you can do something the same way with this book. Just always keep it with you. Have everybody sign up. All the guys' pictures are in there. And have that, and you'll have a great gift for Christmas and a great memento.
Baltimore Ravens, If These Walls Could Talk, is the book. Very cool, man. Thanks, Stan.
All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, D.A.
Stan White joining us here on the show on CBS Sports Radio. I think the Ravens could be a tough out in the playoffs, and I kind of hope they are, because the AFC playoffs are shaping up to not be all that dramatic. I think the NFC shaping up to be amazing. Honestly, 1-6, you could make the argument anybody can win the Super Bowl in the NFC. I really believe that. I know 1-6, anybody could make the Super Bowl in the NFC. The Philadelphia Eagles are great. The Rams have been very, very good. The Vikings, very good. The Saints, very good. Your wild card team, a team like the Atlanta Falcons, we know they were in the Super Bowl last year. Seattle Seahawks have won the Super Bowl before with this group. You know that there's the ability 1-6 to get there. The Carolina Panthers went to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. In the NFC, it's anybody's game. In the AFC, it doesn't feel that way because the Patriots are so good, have been there so many times. You basically have to ask yourself, who can go to New England and win? Do you trust the Titans or the Chiefs or the Jaguars or the Bills or even the Steelers, who came up short last year in the AFC title game, to beat the Patriots in New England? Because somebody's going to have to do it unless the Steelers get home field advantage throughout the playoffs. And I think the only team that I trust going to Foxborough and winning outside of Pittsburgh would be Baltimore. Primarily because they have a defense that's their strength. And so knock around Tom Brady, make life tough on him, do kind of what the Houston Texans did last year in the divisional round, and just kind of squeeze the air out of the stadium, not give him any space. But the Texans had no offense whatsoever, had baby Brock picks under center. At least you have Flacco, who has gone up there and won an AFC title game before and won a couple of playoff games. So maybe they can pose some type of threat to some of the big boys in the AFC. The other team might be the Chargers because of Bosa and Ingram as a pass rush and Phillip Rivers at quarterback. But I can't take the Chargers seriously yet because they're not even 500 yet. When we come back, did the Packers make a mistake?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.